Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you with a special announcement. And as I give this announcement, I want to ask you a series of questions. Have you ever had to minister to someone who just lost a loved one? Have you ever found yourself helping saints work through some church conflict? Have you ever had to work with some youth as they dealt with their specific issues? How about have you known a married couple who were having some difficulties and they asked you to come and talk to them? Or maybe even there was a blended family that you had to minister to. Maybe you found yourself coming up a little short in the area of what to tell them, especially in reference to what the Bible says. Well, we have good news for you here at Bethany Baptist Church. We are having a biblical counseling conference. It's going to take place April 11th through April the 12th. The theme for our conference is help, hope, and healing for the hurting. The passage of scripture that we are using as a foundation is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61 and verse 3, which says, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." That is to bring help, hope, and healing to the hurting. So if you attend this conference, you will be equipped from the scriptures to minister to those who are grieving, to minister to blended families, to minister to someone going through church conflict, to minister to a couple who is in conflict, and ministering to youth and their specific issues. To find out more about this biblical counseling conference, and let me say this, you don't have to be a counselor to come to the conference. This conference is for lay people. And so we want to encourage you as a lay person who finds themselves in the midst of helping those who are hurting. We want you to come and get equipped to do ministry as the Lord has called us to. For more information, you can call 412-246-4463. That's 412-246-4463. We look forward to seeing you at the conference. God bless you today as you listen to the broadcast.
Hello and welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of part two of The Gift of Giving. So please open your Bible to the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 8b as we rejoin Dr. Glaze for the first half of part two of The Gift of Giving.
Well, we're going to continue our message that we started last week. I didn't get a chance to finish it, so we'll finish it this morning. And actually, we're talking about spiritual gifts. And we've looked at several spiritual gifts already. And we continue talking about a spiritual gift that probably for some people is a little sensitive. However, we don't want to skate over anything. We want to hit them all as far as the ones in Romans chapter 12. And so we continue to speak on the spiritual gift of giving. The spiritual gift of giving. And that's, you don't have to turn to this passage. I'm going to ask that you would turn to the book of Acts. But the basis of the scriptures that we've been looking at have been in Romans chapter 12, where it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And in this one this morning, we are looking at the gift of giving. The gift of giving. And I'm going to ask that you would open in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. And the word of God reads as follows. "And the multitude of those that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of them that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. The meaning of the gift of giving. If we say that someone has the gift of giving, what do we mean? Now, I want to distinguish, and we'll bring it out later in the message, and that is, there is the gift of giving, but yet and still all of God's people are encouraged and admonished and, dare I even say, instructed to give. So we are looking at people that have the gift of giving, but later on we're going to look at the fact that all of us can participate in giving. So if someone has the gift of giving, what does that mean? Well, in your notes you can read that it's the divine sensitivity to recognize needs in the body and the ability to meet those needs with joyfulness and liberality. That if a person has the gift of giving, you know, sometimes I hate to have money, and I don't claim to have the gift of giving, okay? I don't claim to have it. I know that my spiritual gift, my main one, is teaching. But sometimes I hate to even have money in my wallet because it seems like I always just give it away. So that's why I'm leaving early today. So y'all, hopefully the next time you see me, you will have forgot that I said this, so you won't ask me for anything. All right. But, you know, sometimes, because, you know, if I hear of a need or if I see, you know, I'm just ready to do that. Well, that's the way this person with the gift of giving is. Now they just don't, as we're going to see in a second, they just don't frivolously give, but they are intentional about their giving. But they recognize that somebody has a need. They recognize that there are needs in the body, and not only do they recognize that, but they have the ability, they have the wherewithal to meet that need, and they meet it with joyfulness and liberality. And, you know, you see people like that in the body all the time, especially around Christmas. Sometimes during Christmas, I'll announce that there may be a family that has a need, and I'll get a call from somebody that will say, "Pastor, whatever they need, just let me know." And then, you know, if we have a special offering, usually the people that have the gift of giving, I think back over the things that we've done. You know, we've taken offerings for people that were affected by Katrina. We've taken up offerings that people have had lost their houses in fires. We have taken up offerings for the young man right here in Penn Hills who has a medical condition. And we've taken up all kind of offerings. And you know what? People that have the gift of giving love to hear when opportunities like that come up because they want to be able to meet that particular need. And so we see here that you have a sensitivity to recognize that needs in the body, and you have the ability to meet those needs. Now, as we look at the scripture, we have seen who has this gift. Well, Barnabas, as we saw in the passage under consideration, and people in the early church. What are some characteristics of people with this gift? And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we did look at it last week, so I'm just going to kind of breeze over it real quick. First thing that we see is that people with this gift have an unselfish spirit. If you have the gift of giving, you can't be like the guy I heard about. One guy came up to him and said, "Hey man, can you loan me $500? And he said, "Why should I loan you $500? He said, "Because I have a great need, and if I don't get it, I'm going to be in serious trouble." He said, "Well, let me ask you the question. Why should I loan you $500 when I got a mother who needs surgery and I haven't given her any money? I got a sister who just had her car totaled and she needs a car and I haven't given her any money. And you know, I've got a daughter that's in college and I haven't given her any money. And why should I give you any money if I haven't given them any money?" So this brother just had a selfish spirit. He had a selfish spirit. Not only did he not want to help somebody else who had a need, but he wasn't even helping those right around him. See, the people with the gift of giving, they don't have that kind of spirit. They don't have a selfish spirit. But look at verse 32. We see the people with the gift of giving, they have an unselfish spirit. Verse 32, and the multitude of those that believed were of one heart and one soul, neither said any of them, any of the things which they possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Wow. You're talking about unselfishness. They just freely relinquished the things that were theirs, and they shared them with those around them. An unselfish spirit. Now, once again, people who give might have a selfish spirit. You know, you might give and still have a selfish spirit, but you can't have the gift of giving and have a selfish spirit. These people have an unselfish spirit. The second thing we saw is that, and I like this right here. Oh, I love this right here. And they understand that they have been blessed by God themselves. See, the people with the gift of giving, they understand that they have been blessed by God, and then they want to bless somebody else. Acts 4:33. And with great power gave the apostles witness unto the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon all of them. That word grace here, we can actually substitute the word favor. That there was favor on this congregation, and they realized that the favor of God was upon them. And how could they be selfish? How could they be stingy? How could they hold back when they had received so much themselves? I don't know about you, but God has been good to me. Man, the Lord has been good to me. And I would cut off my own blessings if I begin to hoard what he gives me and I begin to wrap my arms around it and hold on and not ready to share and be a blessing with others. I would be robbing myself of the grace of God that he's given to me. Oh, my brothers and sisters, this church realized that the grace of God was upon them. They realized that the favor of God. And remember, we talked about favor last week. Favor means that you have God's special consideration. That unlike people who don't have the favor of God, that God looks at you and God has a special relationship with you. Oh yeah, these other people, they might be saved by grace. They might be experiencing the grace of God. They might be experiencing the love of God. But you not only experience the grace of God and the love of God, but you have special consideration from God. You know, I try to be a blessing to everybody. If I can, I try to be a blessing to everybody. But you can believe, and you can ask my wife, because my wife is the same way, that if there's a need within the family, my wife and I'm going to say especially my wife, she's ready to go and sell the farm to meet that need. Why? Why is that? Because my family has special consideration. My family, once again, I want to bless everybody. But then your family has special consideration that if you're going to bless somebody outside, that you don't consider those people the same way you consider your family. And it's the same way with God, that if you have the favor of God upon you, that means that God gives you special consideration in whatever situation you're in. And so these folk realize that. They realize people that have the gift of giving, they realize that they have the favor of God on their life. It's like I said last week, God will get it to you if he can get it through you. And God knows that he can get it through them, and so they have favor on their life. The third thing we see about people with this gift is that they have been blessed with the financial resources to help others. Verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of those things that were sold. So in order for you to have the gift of giving, you got to have something to give. You know, you can't say, well, I got the gift of giving and you don't have anything. All right? You know, God will bless you. God will get things into your hands. Now, maybe right now you might have the gift and you don't have anything to give. But I guarantee you that if you got the gift of giving, if you have the gift of giving, God will get something to you. He will get it to you because he knows that if he gets it to you, that you're going to put it in a place where it's needed and you're going to put it in a place where people can be blessed. And so these folk had houses and lands, and they sold them because they had something. They had something. They sold it. They liquidated their assets. Now, once again, I don't want to be naive, so I'm saying that they probably didn't liquidate all of their stuff, all right? They probably didn't liquidate it all. Because I hear somebody say, oh, man, I got Pastor Glaze is crazy. He want me to go sell my house and then give it. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I believe that they liquidated, you know, some of their possessions, and they brought them to the apostles and let the apostles make the distribution. So they had something. God had blessed them with something, and they were able to go share it with somebody else. The fourth thing we see that people with this gift, that they are sensitive to the financial and material needs of other people. Look at verse 35. They are sensitive. See, the reason that God is not going to get it to some folk, because the first thing that they would think about is, how can I use it? All right? But if you have the gift of giving, the first question that you might ask is, how can I be a blessing to somebody else? Verse 35 says that they laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. They realized that there were some needs in the body, and they realized that God had blessed them to meet those needs. Number five, as we look at this last thing, they want to know that their gift is making a significant difference. People with the gift of giving, like I said, they're not going to give frivolously. See, somebody with the gift of giving, they didn't get this gift just to squander it and just to give it any old way. But people with the gift of giving, they want to know that their gift is making a difference. And so it says here that they gave to everyone as they had need. So what did they see happening? That as they sold their possession, as they brought them to the disciples, and as the disciples distributed it out to others, what did they see? Man, they saw people's needs getting met. They saw widows being taken care of. They saw children being fed. They saw people who were down and out being blessed. They saw that their money was making a difference. And people with the gift of giving, that's what they want to know. They want to know that they're making a difference. And so, you know, sometimes they may even scrutinize the situation. So don't, and I'm going to look here in a second, you know, how do people misunderstand this gift? Don't misunderstand when people scrutinize your situation. It's very easy. Now, see, let me say this. You know, we have a benevolent fund here at the church, all right? So I done let two cats out of the bag this morning, right? Number one, Pastor Glaze like to give away money, and number two, we got benevolent. Oh, y'all knew that anyways, all right? But, you know, in the benevolent fund, you know, we may ask you to bring your bills in. In the benevolent fund, we may ask you to give us the number of the person you owe the money to. We may ask you that question. Well, I don't want them getting in my business. Well, then you don't want us to help you then. All right? That's the bottom line. Because, you see, I guarantee you, that if we went out and stood in front of this church and made an announcement that we had a benevolent fund, come on and get help, there would be all kind of people that would come. I had somebody a couple weeks ago told me, hey, man, my daughter just died in Detroit, and I need to catch a bus to Detroit. And I said, well, you know, let me you know, try to make some calls and see if I can get, you know, can you come back at 3 o'clock? Well, you know, the bus is leaving at 4 o'clock, going to Detroit. Well, you know, I can't do anything more than just, you know, make these calls. And, you know, if you come back, forget it. I don't have time. Well, see, you know, did you have a need, all right? I remember one time, and Brother Ray will verify this. Brother Ray, I had a guy came and said that he wanted some money. And I said, okay, man, I said, look, we'll help you out. We got some stuff around the church, the grass that needs to be cut and, you know, some stuff that needs to be picked up. If you could just go do that, man, then we can help. Oh, I got a bad back, man. I can't, you know. So, you know, you got You got people that are just waiting to take advantage of the situation. So, you know, as a church, you know, we have to do these things. We have to be scrutinizing. And see, that's what the person with the gift of giving does. The person with the gift of giving, they may scrutinize your situation, and the reason that they're scrutinizing it, because they want to know that their gift is making a difference. That it's not just going to some frivolous cause, that it's just not going to be wasted, but that it's making a difference. People with this gift, they love to see, they desire to see the Lord's work expand. They desire to see the needs of others met. And a lot of times, the people with the gift of giving, they love to give in private. They don't want anybody to know that they're doing it. And then they give over and above their regular giving. And sometimes they even give sacrificially. Why? Because it's just in their heart. It's just in their spirit to give. Now, people can misunderstand the people with the gift of giving. And Satan can attack the people with the gift of giving. How is this gift misunderstood by others? Well, first of all, other people, they see people with the gift of giving and they see them blessed and they think, well, you know, they're trying to control things with their money. Well, who do they think they are? They think just because they give all that money, they can have things their way? And see, people begin to misunderstand people with the gift of giving. And that's not their heart. Their heart is not to control, but their heart is to give so that the work of God will go forth. And then see, the other people, they start getting on this guilt trip because then they think that, well, you know, I don't give as much as that person gives, so they probably think bad of me, or, you know, they probably think bad of me because I don't have as much as they have. And then sometimes that can even roll over into a spirit of jealousy that, you know, man, who does he think he is? Who does she think she is? They giving that money to the church. You know, so Satan, he can cause people to misunderstand the gift. And then some people think, because once again, if I got the gift, if you talk to me, and I have my number one gift is the gift of teaching. All right, and you talk to me, guess what a lot of my talk is going to be about? Exegesis. It's going to be about hermeneutics, and it's going to be about Greek word studies. You know, that's going to be, why? Because I got the gift of teaching. Well, if somebody got the gift of giving, guess what a lot of their talk is going to be about? How they can be a blessing, money, material things. It's not because they are material-minded. It's not because they are obsessed with material possessions. It's because that's where their heart is at. And their heart is in the being a blessing. But sometimes people will look at that and they will say, man, that person is just materialistic. That's all they think about. Well, no, that's not true. This is their heart. This is where their heart is at. And then some people think that they try to buy a position in the church. All right, well, you know, and I know the first church I was associate pastor was at, there was one lady, and she gave most of the money to the church. Now, I don't know if it influenced her. You know, I was glad that she was giving because my salary was getting paid, so praise the Lord. But I know that nothing went on unless somebody talked to her. You know, she had the checkbook, and so... You know, whether she had the right spirit or not, you know, I don't know. She seemed to be a godly lady. But I know that people could look at that and say that, well, you know, she just bought that position. Look at all the money that she gives. She got that position because all the money that she gives. So people can misunderstand people with the gift of giving. And then, you know what, as always, unless the person with this gift allows it to be controlled by the fruit of the Spirit, Satan will jump on it. You know, what's the number one cause of problems in marriage? Money. it's not infidelity. It's not poor communication. The number one problem in marriage is money. Okay, is money. So you can see Satan is attacking the family in the issue of money, and you can be assured that if somebody in the church has this gift, that Satan is going to attack it. Well, how does he attack it? Well, he causes people that have this gift. Once again, if they stay controlled by the Spirit, they're all right. But if they don't, then guess what? They're going to start getting the big head. Why? Well, you look what I'm getting. Look how much I get.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the conclusion of part two of The Gift of Giving. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, The Gift of Giving, You can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request the gift of giving, or program number 080420. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request the gift of giving, or program number 080420. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.